Father, we just want to thank you for another wonderful time in your presence. We thank you because you are a merciful God. We come boldly before your throne of grace to ask for mercy. We ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, speak through us, open the ears of our understanding, open our eyes to see you. Thank you, Lord, because you have made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Our ability is not of ourselves, it is of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting from verse 14. Says, for the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Chapter 6. We then as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Praise God. Now, this is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he's trying to tell them that he is a minister of the gospel of God. And not just a minister, a true minister of God. Now, one thing I would like us to note is that many of us have been born again for a long time. And if I say, count how many sermons you've heard, some of us cannot count the number of sermons we've had. We cannot say 100, 1,000. We've had so many sermons. But one thing I want us to note is that when we come into a meeting like this, we must always remember the parable of the sower. The state of our hearts will determine what we get from the message. And immediately after the message, the enemy is still waiting to steal it from us, or the cares of the world, or the soil in which it was sown. So the Bible says in a place that the word preached to them did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. And secondly, the second threat to the word of God when it comes is strongholds in our lives, strongholds of unbelief, strongholds of doubt, strongholds of worry and anxiety. Because the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when the word comes forth, to gain that knowledge, the strongholds block it. So even though we're seeing it and we're hearing it, we will not receive it. So this morning, I'll be this evening, bless you. I pray that God would help us to remove every stronghold and for our hearts to be right, to receive what the Lord wants us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we find that he's telling us about the love of Christ, constraining us. Because he judges that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for us, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So in that short sentence, you have the gospel. He died and rose again. And because we were dead, and because he died and rose again for us, we now have his life. And because we now have his life, we cannot live anyhow anymore. We must live unto Christ. That's the only life that is acceptable. So this evening, we should ask ourselves, am I living unto Christ? Or am I living unto myself? And why is this so important? This evening, I'm trying to look at some fundamental issues of the Word of God. That once we understand it, then we know that the remaining is, what decision do I make? Or what do I do with it? So now that I know that I cannot live unto myself anymore, every day, every second, I must ask myself, am I living unto myself, or am I living unto the one that gave me this new life? Okay? So it says, wherefore? Because, so wherefore, henceforth, that's in verse 16, know we no man after the flesh. Yet, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. And this will be explained in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So let's stop there. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. He is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, this is very direct. It is categorical. It is not negotiable. One, you are a new creature. Two, you are in Christ. No, one, you are in Christ. Two, you are a new creature. Three, all things have passed away. There is no old things can still come back, or old things might come back and then go. No, they have passed away. And you are a new creature. Why? Because you are now in Christ. That is the result of being born again. His death and his resurrection granted us this. We find that in Ephesians. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And we find that this new life, Jesus himself prayed and asked God for it for us. So let's look at John 17. Verse 21. Or let's start from verse 20. It says, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Praise God. So you can see here that one with the Father, Jesus is. One with Jesus, we are. One with each other. One with each other. And this is very important for every believer. This is the new creature we're talking about. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So, this must settle in our minds. We must not let it depart. Two things. We're one with Jesus. Jesus is one with God. We're one with each other. And we all say this. We say it over and over and over again. But then, do we live it out? Is it our reality? Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 12:27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, ye are the body of Christ. And in this 1 Corinthians, he's trying to tell us that, look, Christ is our head, in that chapter 12. We are members of his body. And one thing he says again is that God puts each one in his own place. So, again, he's not taking it from any other place than from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, let my words abide in you. Now, a new creature is not one person. It's all of us. That is the new creation, all of us. And that's why our sister's father that preached last Sunday, he said something that struck me. He said, no one man can do the work of God. It must be done by the church. The church is a unit. It's a whole. Christ is the head. We are members of his body. But you see, in the world, we're used to me. I did this. I did that. He did that. So you see that aspect of the world in the church today. This church competing with that church. This brother jealous of that brother. But if you look at a tree, and I keep on saying this every time, and different branches, one branch can't be jealous of the other. My liver can't be jealous of my kidney. My tongue cannot be jealous of my neck. They are all working for one purpose. This must settle in the heart of every believer. If you don't settle it, you can't take off. That one with Christ, one with God, one with one another, one body of Christ, one baptism. God in all and in true all. So this is what it is to be a new creature. And he goes on to say, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So again, how did this happen? It was done by the Almighty God. He looked at us when we were dead in sin and trespasses, when we were his enemies, and he said, sent his only begotten son to come and die for us. Who were his enemies? So that we can be reconciled to him. And look at what it says there in verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And you remember when I read John 17, 21. It says, thou in me, and me in you, and me in them, and all of them being one. God was in Christ. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And see here, this is the most important one. Because when we go out evangelizing, we don't tell them this most of the time. He says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. God is not imputing the trespasses of the world unto them anymore. And that's going to be the sad part for anybody who doesn't accept Jesus. He's going to find out that he already has a free ticket. A way has been made out. God is not angry with them again. God is not holding your sins against you anymore. He has made a way out for all mankind. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The sacrifice has been made. God is not imputing their trespasses unto them. Don't ever look at an unbeliever and look at him with condemnation. No, God is not condemning them. God is saying, come out of this. There is a way of escape. Come unto me, all ye that are hungry and thirsty. Come and buy without money. It's for free. Now, he says, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So here you see, this is why I'm living. I'm no longer living unto myself. I'm now living unto God. Now, who is living unto God? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Anger, envy, jealousy, bitterness. Old things have passed away. You must settle it in your heart because the devil will shake you. He will tell you you are still the same person. You see, you must remember that now I'm a member of the body of the living Jesus. I'm a member of the body of the living Jesus. Ye are members of the body of Christ. Now, do we see ourselves like this? Or do I see myself as Olayemi from Nigeria? Brother this from Ghana. Do I see all of us as one? If I don't settle it, I can't make any progress in this Christian work. There's no way. Let us quickly look at Colossians 3:10. It says, but let me, from verse 9, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And in 10 says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Now, I want you to underline that word knowledge. It is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So now, the end is Jesus. The end is God. We are renewed in the knowledge after the image of God. That's what we're going to be. Paul in Galatians says, until Christ be formed in you, my little children, whom I travail again in birth. You see, so we're all going to be like Christ. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're members of his body. We're one with him. And it is so important. He says in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, non-circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, how do you understand this? Christ is all and in all. When you see a body, do you say that is Brother John's head? And then that is Brother John's finger. And Brother John's finger is different from Brother John's leg. Or do you just say that is Brother John? I was reading somewhere and somebody was saying, look, do you know that you are just cells made up to be a being? And true enough, we started as one cell. And it says, in this human body, what we have is over 1 trillion cells. So all these cells together have formed this complete body. But if we break it down, it's just cells coming together to form a body. So you see the same thing in the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are members, different members, but all one. So now you see some people, let's pray for Jews. The Jews are this. Look at it. It says, there is no Jew, no Greek, no Asian, no barbarian. All are one. Christ in all and Christ is all. And if you don't settle that again, you can't make any headway. And you see, when you settle it, the next person has not settled it. So he's going to be operating differently from you. But because you have settled it, you have to love him and understand him. Because you are still one, no matter his own level of growth. You are still one. You see it? So that's why he says, even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. We'll see that again in the same Corinthians. Because Paul is trying to explain to them these mysteries. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, he's trying to explain this to them. He says, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, that part of you that is the real you, that is a member of the body of Christ, is renewed day by day. But this body of yours, which is not the real you, it is just a casing. This body is perishing. That's why I'm not looking as handsome as I was when I was 16 years old. Praise God. Praise God. You see, and this is what is happening. We look at ourselves. We see ourselves aging until we get to 80, 90, no teeth again. And no matter how strong we are, we move on. a new generation takes that place. But the real you, he says, look at it. Chapter 5, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And so this is a house, and we're going to have another house that will clothe us, the eternal house. But the real you is that part of you that is joined with Christ. And so this is the difficulty of the Christian faith. When people say contend for the faith, a lot of people have misunderstood this to say, oh, you are fighting that people should know Jesus. No, you want to let people know that they must understand that once they get born again, this great mystery is that you become a part of the member of the body of Christ. A member of the body of Christ. He is the head, you now become a part. Together, you are all one. The universal church of Christ. Some in heaven who have gone before us. Some on earth, the family of God. And so that's why when God looks at us, he's seeing Jesus. He's seeing Jesus. And he's seeing us as one. And that's why the enemy tries to introduce strife. What does strife do? It brings what they call autoimmune disease in the human body. When a cell begins to fight against other cells in the body, a healthy cell fighting another healthy cell and destroying each other. Now, it's the body fighting the body. And that's why it's not, when you look at it, seven things the Lord hates. One of it is strife, or people that introduce strife in the body of Christ. Seven deadly sins. So we must understand this foundation. We're not this physical body. We're spirit living in this body. And that spirit is the spirit of Christ. He has put the spirit of his son in us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's why we can call God Father. We're the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. A new creature. So I'll quickly move on to two more things now. So this new creature is not like the old one. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll find the Jews in covenant with God. The Gentiles know God. Now, you see Elijah, Elisha, mighty men of God, the bone of one, a body falls on it that is dead, on the bone in the grave, that body comes back to life. That Shunammite woman says, okay, you've been good to me. This time next year, you would have a child. The king of Syria, his biggest military commander, he went to look for the man of God. He removed with the power of God leprosy. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. The Spirit of God was upon him. Now, another one says, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, it will not rain here for X number of years. It never rained. That's the old creature in the covenant. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ said, we, the least in this new dispensation, is greater than the greatest. Are we reaching up to that level that we are called to be? That's the issue. Why is the least greater than the greatest? Because the least here is a member of the body of the living Jesus. Now, see the next issue. What are we living for? We're living unto God. And he makes it clear. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's in verse 19. And in verse 18, he says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So you can't say, I don't know what I'm called to do. This is what you are called to do. He has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To go and tell people, now it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. in Christ's stead, because they are not seeing Christ, but we are members of Christ. So we represent him here on earth. We're in the world, but not of the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, knowing that we are one with Christ. He says, I have overcome. Let me quickly take us there. And then that shows us the importance of this, knowing who we are in Christ and standing up that I will fulfill that calling upon my life. That's Revelation 21. In that same revelation, it says he has made us kings and priests unto him. Look at what he says here. Revelation 21. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a test of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But look at the next verse, which is very important. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, warmongers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's why Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished. The work has been finished. And that's why he says again, you are complete in Christ, who is the head over all rule, over all authority. And that's why it says, this is the mystery that was hid from ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you are not separate from Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I that live, it is Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in Christ. And that's why the word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it says this new man is renewed in that Colossians 3:10, is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that formed him. You must know who you are. You must know that I'm not this body. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a child of the living God. The Spirit of God is in me. Christ is in me. God is in me. You must know it and you must settle it. So when you wake, you are dependent on Christ. He's your source. He's your everything. So you remember that we have this treasure in vessels of clay. That is the biggest problem. And it says we have these treasures in vessels of clay so that the glory might be of God. The same Corinthians is telling them, that same Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse, I think it's 7. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So there is no place for me to boast. I raise the dead. No, it is Christ walking through me, and I yield. Know ye not whom you yield to, you become servants to. Romans, either servants of sin unto death, or of God unto life eternal. So now this is settled. I'm a new creature. I'm living for God. I'm an ambassador for God. I have this ministry of reconciliation. And I must overcome. If I don't overcome, if I'm fearful, if I'm unbelieving, if I'm lying, this is the end. So in teaching the Corinthians, Paul says something in verse chapter 4, 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Don't faint. Don't allow any problem to overcome you. Remember, you are a child of God. Christ is in you. Then it says, there's a condition. It says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Every man has a conscience. Then he goes on to say that, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you see, the enemy is renowned shown. He blinds people's mind. They say, what are you? They don't even believe anything about Christ. But you manifest yourself to their conscience. Then he goes on to say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And we had that
frame.
Yes, frame here. You see, this is the key of reconciliation. We preach not ourselves, the ministry of reconciliation that has been given to us. We preach Christ Jesus. Everything we're doing in this ministry of reconciliation is to tell people that, look, there is God in heaven. He has given Jesus Christ, and you can become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. There's no Greek, no Jew, no Nigerian, no Filipino, no nothing again. But you see, in the world, there's competition. In the world, I am a royal family. And I was telling my wife one day, I said, they want to take it from you. The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to stop you from knowing that you are a king and a priest unto God. He wants to stop you from believing that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that you are delivered from the domain of darkness, you are the kingdom of light, that you are joined here with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. All things were made by him and for him. And the Bible says, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But that stronghold of unbelief. I was born in the ghetto in one country. How can I be a king and a priest? Do I say, no, you have to believe. Jesus told them, they said, what do do the works of God? He said, believe on him that is sent. That is the work, believe. And if the enemy can steal that belief from your heart, steal that knowledge, stop you believing, then you live like an ordinary man. You'll be looking to this person for help. You'll be looking to that person for help. You'll be... Craftiness will come in. Hidden things of dishonesty will come in. Because your heart will not match your mouth. You will now be operating in the world. And like the Lord revealed to us, like the prodigal son who is now eating the food of the world, swine's food, no longer living by God's word, because you don't trust him anymore. You've forgotten that you are a member of the body of Jesus. And the devil is having a free ride. He's laughing. Who will give me money? How will I get this? Why will I happen this? You even forget your hope of a future in heaven. And the Bible says, those who are fearful, those who are unbelieving, these are the people in the hellfire. And when I saw that scripture, I was very worried. Because so many things created fear in me. So I said to myself, I have to deal with that spirit of fear. I have to overcome fear by all means. We'll conclude now by saying, we have seen it. We're ambassadors, we're new creatures. What is the work of an ambassador? He's a representative of a kingdom. In Nigeria, I used to enjoy going to the American embassy because it was so palatial. It was like a palace. Different cars, the lawn, huge security. It was like a little America in Nigeria. So when we come, our brother preached a sermon on the savor of Christ. So when those people come, they give us the savor of America. They come with the American cars. They come with the American accents. I say, oh, I wish I could go to America. The same thing with the British embassy. But then we are from the embassy, we are the embassy of God here. So our life should give a savor of Christ. He says, to those who are perishing, is death unto death. But to those who have that life, they are happy to see us. These are the children of the living God. We're separate, we're distinct. We are bringing good news, we're bringing life. And so that's why I want to encourage us this evening. This responsibility that and what God has done for us, making us, joining us with his son, creating us in his son, we must not overlook it. And please, this is the key of every theology. Once you understand this, nobody can deceive you again with big words, with grammar. Tell them this is what God has done for me. He has placed me in his son. I'm a member of his body. I have a job. Retell people this good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them anymore. There's an open ticket to come out and not be destroyed. And so, joy fills my heart. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And this is what we invite you to. that your joy may be full. This is the good news. God has saved us, given us his son, given us his life, made us one with him. So let us thank God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful salvation of ours. Please help us not to forget it and help us to live it out daily. No matter what the enemy brings against us, we know that in you we have victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.